Rough Rider Radio is paid for by Yavapai College and is solely responsible for its content.
From the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's time for Rough Rider Radio, a focus on Yavapai College. And now, here's your host for Rough Rider Radio, Kim Capen.
Welcome to Rough Rider Radio, the show about all things Yavapai College, your community college. We have two guests that are just outstanding with us today. First up is Mr. Brad Clifford, YC's athletic director. What a great story he has to tell. Brad started at Yavapai as a student athlete a couple of decades ago and returned to become a very successful AD with a number of national championships under his belt. Look forward to hearing more about that. And later in the show, we'll chat it up with head baseball coach Ryan Kogel. He'll talk about his successful recruiting program, the major leaguers he's coached, and the secrets behind his recent national championship. We're going to take a short break and return with Brad Clifford.
Follow your passion at Yavapai College. Are you interested in the world of numbers, computers, and business? Then the School of Business and Computer Systems is the place for you. Yavapai College's highly trained instructors will guide you in the areas of computer networking, accounting, paralegal studies, hospitality, and more. Combine your creative abilities with the technical know-how at Yavapai College and lay the groundwork for a new career. Visit their website today at yc.edu and learn to do what you love. You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
And we are back with Brad Clifford, YC's highly successful athletic director. Brad, you're a local product, and you came to YC from a local high school, I believe. Did you not go to Bradshaw Mountain? Tell us about that journey here as a student athlete.
I'm actually Prescott High School graduate.
Prescott High School graduate.
Yeah, that's almost
sacrilegious.
You can't say that here.
I apologize.
Which
I apologize on the air to the entire district.
It's funny because now I live out in Prescott Valley and my kids go to Bradshaw Mountain. So there's a little bit of friction there when the two teams go get together.
And you have a daughter that attends Yavapai College.
I do. I do. I've got a daughter. My daughter, Annie Clifford, she's going to graduate here in May, and she's doing a great job. Just got a 4.0 this semester.
Very
so,
nice.
It wasn't a long journey for me. It was kind of an easy one. Out of high school, I moved away for about 6 months, and then I went on a mission for my church, and I got back after 2 years, and I stayed here and joined the basketball team. The basketball team was just restarting up. I was on the first team that restarted up after a five-year hiatus.
And what year was that, Fred?
87, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so I played on that first team, and we weren't very good because I was playing on it. I think we were 7-23 that year.
Wow.
Yeah, so I played for Willie Bean, played here at Yavapai College back in the 70s. It was a great time, and it was a no-brainer really for me. I wanted to stay closer to home. I'd been away for 2 years in out of the country and stayed close to home, and Yavapai College offered a great opportunity for me.
And let's talk about that. So you played here as a student athlete. I understand you maybe got an educational opportunity after Yavapai and then ended up coming back.
You know, it's a funny thing. My career goal, I wanted to be a baseball coach, so I played basketball here at Yavapai. I hurt my back. I had a herniated disc, and I decided I was I was a little bit older, 20, 21, 22. I decided, you know, it's time to go on. So I expressed that to Willie Bean, my head coach, and he said, okay, no, I can respect that. And he said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I want to coach, and I'll probably just go down to the valley or something. And 2 days later, he comes back. You know what? We have an assistant women's basketball coach job available. How about you do that and go to school at the same time? And so I finished up going to school here. I didn't get a degree. Mm-hmm. I finished up all the classes here while I was coaching. Then I transferred down to ASU West, which is a short hour and 15 minute drive. And so I commuted back and forth while I was assistant coaching. And then I finished my degree, of course, at ASU. Actually got the head job here in 1986, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And finished my degree up shortly before that. And Been here a long time.
Well, you know, it's an interesting transition to go from being a coach. There's a lot of excitement there. There's a lot of close contact with the athletes. I mean, you're really in there as a coach, a psychologist, a trainer, so much going on there. And then you move into the realm of being an athletic director, which is a heavy administrative position. Talk about that transition for you.
It's something that I never thought of doing. I got to be honest with you. And when we discontinued the program, four, five, 6 years ago, they asked me if I wanted to jump into being an assistant athletic director to Scott Farnsworth. And, you know, I had to really make a decision. Do I want to be done with coaching? My wife and I had talked about that. Do we want to be done with coaching? If we do, then this is an opportunity. This is the next step in life, in our lives. And so, jumping into the assistant, especially to Scott, made it easy. Scott made it easy. I was able to learn the ropes a little bit from him. And then, of course, we had some changes within the department, and I was asked to do the athletic director position. And so I obviously jumped on that, and I love Yavapai College. It's the administration. It's a totally different thing than coaching. Mm-hmm. I miss the camaraderie with the kids, the student athletes. That's the hard part. But I get to associate closely with the coaches, which I think is a very good thing. And, I get to look out, you know, for the welfare of the student athlete, mm-hmm. welfare of the program, welfare of Yavapai College, quite frankly, in totality.
Yeah. The AD is a pretty high profile job, not only in community college, arenas, but also nationally. You see some ADs are out there really in front of their programs. Tell us about what's involved with your job and how you interface with the very successful and experienced coaches you have.
Well, you know, the coaches speak for themselves. They have their own identities, which I think is a good thing. Mike Pantaleone, you know, a great coach. What am I going to do? Come and tell Mike how to do his job? I'm not going to do that. He's a Hall of Famer. He's won 7 national championships. I get to do a lot of PR for the program. I get to be the face of it, and I'm fine with that. I get to be out in the community and talking to the community. I get to be at all the games and you know, shaking hands and do that type of stuff. But at the same time, you know, minding our P's and Q's with our budgets, with everything else as far as NJCAA rules go, with college rules. There's a lot of things that entails. But I think our coaches make it easy for me to do my job, because they sell their program and they do such a great job with their program.
Right, and like you said, they've got tremendous experience and success under their belts as well.
Much more experience than I think I could ever bring to their programs, for sure. Obviously, in 2016, we had a great run with baseball winning the national championship. We had softball go back to the national tournament and take fourth. We had volleyball go to the national tournament for the first time ever. Our program that didn't make it to the national tournament, who's won 7 national championships, was soccer. But they ended up winning the region. They just lost in the district. So they made it easy. They make it easy for my to do my job.
And you spoke about interfacing with the community. What do they have in store for them this spring? We're already underway with baseball and softball. What do we have looking forward a couple of months?
I had a chance to go to Henderson with both teams. They both started in Henderson this last weekend, and there's a lot of work still to be done, but a very, very talented group. Baseball has a very talented group. You know, pitching is key in baseball and softball. Baseball, you got to have more pitchers, and we got a ton of pitchers, good arms. Our offense is tremendous. I'm really excited. We only went 2-2 out there, but, you know, as talking to Ryan and what Ryan says about it is, you don't worry about what happens win or loss wise in the first few games. It's what happens at the end of the season. You know, the season's a process. And so, we're gonna see some good things from there. Are we expecting a national championship? You know, that's always the goal. Kim, you always say, yeah, we're gonna win a national. But I think we'll have a chance to be very successful this year. Softball, we've got good pitchers, and that's what you need in softball. If you don't have a pitcher, you might as well kiss the season goodbye, quite frankly. And we've got 3 good pitchers that, Doug's gonna rely upon. They all pitched this last weekend. They all did a great job. Offensively, we returned, the player of the year in JD Borg. Warsaw. Fast pitch softball is such a fast sport. It's such a fun sport to watch. I really encourage people to come out and watch softball because we are an exciting brand. But Doug likes long ball. You know that old commercial, chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah.
Well, he likes the long ball, and we got some power hitters this year, so it'll be fun.
Right, and you're referring to Doug Eastman, who is the lady softball coach. He's got quite a background himself.
A professional baseball player, played in the Cincinnati Reds organization. He was actually the player of the year in the Cincinnati Reds organization. Then he had a season, a career-ending injury, went into, I think he played professional fast pitch on the men's side, and then obviously got into coaching. He had some great success out in California, and that's tough softball out there, and went to numerous Final Fours, comes out here and has obviously made his mark here. So we're excited. We're excited for Doug and for the team that he's got coming in this year.
Well, you've got so much going on, and when you look over your career as an AD, what are a couple of the memories that really stick out for you, just where you just said, wow, you know, I'm feeling really great about this program?
I tell you what, we've done a few things. First off, we've hosted two national soccer tournaments, one in 2014 and just recent in 2017. 2014, we were unfortunate not to make it to the tournament. So that was quite frankly a little let down because I thought we'd be able to host in front of the home crowd. And then 2017, I think that's our biggest, my biggest achievement, is us making that tournament. Mike did a great job, obviously, and the kids did a great job. But once we secured the national tournament spot, I really kind of felt a sense of relief and a sense of yes. And we had great crowds, and the crowd saw a tremendous tournament. The weather was unbelievable, and the tournament was great, and we won two games, and that third game, doggone it, we just short in the end. So I think those are two of the biggest highlights we had. And then obviously in 2016, I think that was the highlight, the climax of our sports. Three teams went to the national tournament, won for the first time, won the national title with baseball. I think that's probably comes in a short second to the national tournament.
When you look back at that period, is there one athlete, and I've never asked you this question before, is there one athlete all round that sticks out to you as maybe the best athlete ever to come through your program during your AD days?
Well, you're going to have to. We could go sport by sport, but I tell you who sticks out. I think, particularly because he had an unbelievable tournament, was Turtle Kualua. And he played third base for us, played third base and pitched for us at the national tournament that year. And what's interesting about him is I had him in my basketball class as well, and I was very careful that he don't get hurt.
I would imagine.
We did some tender walking around lightly with him. He was such a vibrant kid. He was such a wonderful personality, and he just competed every day. He actually came in as a pitcher, and they moved him to third base out of necessity. And so he didn't pitch all season. I think he pitched maybe an inning all season. We get to the national tournament, and you've got to play, seven games in 7 days? So he was kind of forced into pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in and does an unbelievable job, like in the fifth game or something, sixth game, plays third base, has a tremendous game tournament at the bat, and that's the reason he won the MVP of the tournament, was because he was able to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to play in the field, he was able to hit, he was able to pitch, and I think I look at that and he kind of stands out. I mean, you can also say Jojo Romero, who had an incredible year that year as well. I mean, there's some soccer players that went through, softball players. It's hard to pinpoint, but Turtle Kulu always will stand out to my mind.
Fantastic. And we just have a minute left. I want to talk about some of the other facilities here that are open to the public. Tennis facility, can you tell us about that? Pretty active area out there.
It is a beautiful facility, first off. We have seven courts down there, brand new courts. Chris Howard is the pro down there. He has open tennis. You can come in and work out with him, pay a couple bucks. There is a fee. It's a very nominal fee, but it's a beautiful beautiful facility. And in fact, we won the Southwest Tennis Center of the Year a couple of years ago, right after we had that built. So it's a great facility. It's very well used. But you can find, get some reservations online for that.
Very good. I appreciate that. And for the community, they can follow all of your sports programs at GoRoughRiders.com.
www.goroughriders.com. Follow us on Facebook. I love Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. We're there.
Thanks. Brad, thank you for being with us today. We're going to take a short break and come back with Coach Ryan Kogel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A college education can get really expensive. That's why people choose Yavapai College. They've done the math. Yavapai's tuition is thousands less than a state or private university. Definitely the best choice for a low-cost, high-quality education with super supportive instructors. You can take credit classes to earn a degree or certificate, to transfer over to another institution, or simply for personal enjoyment. Register today at yc.edu. Yavapai College. Life explored.
You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
And we are back with Ryan Kogel, head baseball coach for the Rough Riders. Ryan, you were a college baseball standout yourself, not only on the junior college level, but also in the, I believe, Division I.
I was.
Tell me about
that. No, I really enjoyed my playing days. Yeah. I played for some really good coaches. I played for my father in high school.
Kidding. How was that?
Well, at the moment, it was something else.
Yeah.
I look back now and reflect, and I was really grateful to be able to do it.
Were you one of those kids that you took up baseball, probably in Little League, and you just excelled at it really from the beginning, and that's all you could think about probably through your high school and college years?
You know what? It was actually the opposite. I was late maturing when I was young and learned how to bunt and learned how to do some of the, of course, being a coach's kid. And I think that started my passion with kind of the inside some of the intricacies of the game that you really grow to respect when you're not 6'4", 220 pounds. And that kind of started the idea that, hey, I might kind of like to do this the rest of my life. Mm. And obviously, as a young boy, you think playing on TV, and that's not always achievable. It certainly wasn't for me, being an average athlete compared to those guys. But really, I think that was the calling. And so I'm kind of doing what I think I need to be doing.
Yeah, so I did want to talk about that a little bit. So I think anybody that plays in college gets up to that level. Community college, the talent is fantastic, and we've seen that here. I mean, it's a level of talent that can take a student-athlete to the major leagues. I mean, that's how good it is. And you went up to the four-year college level. At what point did you just say to yourself, you know, I'm not going to be a pro, and I'm going to go into coaching?
Probably that senior year of college where, you know, you're getting the idea maybe I could be a free agent sign or something like that. And then my level, I wasn't healthy. I had bad shoulders and things like that. And it was just never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think once that came a realization, there is some depression and panic mode that kicks in, and it happens with all guys. Mm-hmm. At some point, you're going to be told you can't play the game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately for me, you know, it was a nice transition just to go into coaching, and it took me 3 or 4 years in coaching to realize I wasn't a player anymore. And once you get rid of that bug, then you can really start to develop players.
Yeah, and let's talk about your progression in coaching. You know, I generally, coaches start out as assistants and move their way up. And take us all the way up through your interim position here and then into head coaching. How did you first start?
Yeah, so I finished my bachelor's degree at Western Illinois as a student assistant, which basically is a volunteer assistant. And that kind of got my foot in the door to realize whether or not I wanted to do it. I was fortunate to go back to my junior college alma mater for coach for Wayne King for a couple of years. And really, that's where it kind of blew up for me. I knew that's what I wanted to do. I got to spend a season with my father being his assistant, which was really cool. I went back to a state tournament for the first time in, I think, 18, 20 years in a small town, 5,000 people in Illinois. And it was pretty cool.
Well, what an interesting leap to go from playing for your dad and then coaching with him. So those can be, for some father sons, be pretty challenging, but it sounds like you worked it out.
You know what? Coaching for him was the single most fun I've ever had. And it was a high school level, Class A baseball in Illinois. You're not getting these big prospects that you are at the junior Division I level. But it was the most fun I've ever had coaching. That includes the year we won a national championship. Mm-hmm. And I think that's obviously blood's thicker than water. But I guess to answer your question, I was fortunate enough to get a job out at New Mexico Junior College through a friend of a friend. And then Sky Smelter, the former coach here at Yavapai, probably I owe a lot to my career through him. A great mentor for me and really kind of set me up for success to be a head coach, and always appreciative of him.
Now, what's that feeling like when they finally announce that, Ryan, you are a head coach of this baseball program? I'm going to cough, so I'm going to turn my head off mic here.
Well, Sky decided to leave around mid-October-ish, which I think was a blessing for me because I was able to be an interim for a year. And those players, probably the most gracious ever, those players, because they really played hard for us, for me. And really, the players allowed me to get an opportunity to be a head coach.
I wanted to talk to you about the psychology of dealing with these players. You know, ultimately, I mean, they're big kids, they're strong, they're talented, but they're still kids. They come here from high school. And in my mind, you know, they're like babies, but they're 6'4", 220 pounds, can blast a ball 450 feet. How do you kind of keep their focus, keep them in line as students and athletes and people?
I think the best advice I've ever received or could give is don't forget you were that age once as well. And they're not dumb. They're smart people. Some of them are inexperienced. And a lot of them, I'll tell you, long story short, I think no matter what generation it is, my generation was tougher than this generation, whatever it is, I think that age group wants to meet expectations. Mm-hmm. They might complain about it. They might not, but I think all in all, they want to meet expectations. So the personality of it is real, gets simple. Here's an expectation. We're going to have to go out and meet it.
Mm-hmm. And do you find you get a lot of cooperation? Are these, are the kids you recruit, are these the motivated kids that want to learn and want to succeed? So the motivation is pretty well built in.
I think recruiting is, about 90% of your success. And I'm not just talking about recruiting good players. You know, two players that, play at the same level, on the baseball field, one of them he's a better human being and he takes it more serious and he's serious about his life. I want that guy too. Mm-hmm. Even if he's graded 10 underneath the other guy.
Right. You know, there's been a lot of talk in the professional ranks about brain typing. Do you kind of do that in your own way when you're interviewing your prospects and recruits? Are you looking for the type of player where you just see this mental toughness and this focus? And can that come out in the brief time that you have to recruit these kids?
I mean, look, we can't read the future. We don't know for certain what's going to happen with guys, but you do it long enough and you get a good idea. When I call a player, I want to talk to a player. I don't want to talk right away to mom and dad because I'm recruiting the player. Mm-hmm. I want to know the family. I want to get to know them and see where he came from. But I want a man that can hold a conversation because that leads me to believe he can be successful in our program.
Now, many of our students have done really well as athletes and students. You know, the combined grade point average of our top athletes is very high, you know, over 3.0, approaching 3.5. So they perform very well in the classroom.
Yeah, it starts at the top. I mean, Brad Clifford sets that expectation amongst coaches, and then it kind of trickles downhill. And I know the other coaches in our program take the academic side very seriously, as do I. And, of course, players want to meet expectations. So if you set the expectation, they're going to try their best to do it.
Speaking of expectations, in 2016, you won a national championship. Take me through that season real quickly and talk about some of the highlights and what do you think were the reasons for your success, your team success, I should say.
It was a good team. It was talented. We weren't necessarily more talented than some other teams we played. I think the biggest trait that team had was they learned how to overcome adversity. And that's something that's special with me. Because that's something they'll take the rest of their life. I mean, welcome the rest of your life. Overcome some adversity, no matter how big or small. And that was it. And you know, however big or small a stage junior college baseball is or a conference game down in Douglas, Arizona, where there's 80 people there, mm-hmm. It's not a big league atmosphere, but it teaches big league lessons. And that's why I love the game. And that's why I love that season.
Speaking of big leagues, you've had a number of players that have been drafted. Can you go over some of those players that really stand out for you? Willie Calhoun is somebody that comes to mind recently, and I had an opportunity to just talk to him in passing, and he had come from, I believe, ASU, and he said, you know, I had a little difficulty there, and he didn't elaborate, but he came here, and he just set the world on fire and then ended up getting drafted.
175 plus players drafted out of the program since its opener and started with Gary Ward. So you got some tradition there. So all the stuff that I may or may not be doing now, I obviously owe that to a lot of those guys, and they started that tradition. But Willie Calhoun, you know, I'm a fan of Willie because he got a second chance at Yavapai. He's right, and I won't go into detail, but he didn't get it done in the classroom, and he knows that. Arizona runs a really just top-notch program, especially when Coach Lopez was there. So expectations are high. He didn't meet them, mm-hmm. but he met them here. So I'm happy for him because he hit the reset button. He got what he was hoping to get. Well, he hopes for more, but he got what he was hoping to get at the time.
Mm-hmm. And just real quickly, just to stay on Willie Calhoun, because I did have a chance to watch him in batting practice, and I was amazed. He's a shorter player that generates tremendous power. And where does that come from?
Well, big, long guys usually generate power because they're long and they create leverage. Short, stocky guys can create some power, too, because their arms are usually smaller, and they get the barrel into the hitting zone quicker. Shorter path, quicker result. But he has unbelievable core strength. And if you go turn on the TV and you watch him from behind, won't get too personal, but he's got a butt about as wide as he is tall.
I did
and that big
that.
Old
yeah.
wide hips and butt, yeah. that's what generates
that's
power.
That's where he got it. Yeah, he has
he's
a big
got gift, for sure.
Yeah, and very fast, as you were alluding to, fast wrist speed.
He
can really move with the bat, and I was just amazed by that. You're going to go through this season, so we've just gotten started. I'd just like to take a little bit of a look ahead, and then if we have a little time, just talk about your next recruiting cycle and what you go through to get these great players here.
Yeah, we are underway. Went up to Vegas this past weekend. We go down to Phoenix here and play Arizona Western, and then here in a couple weeks we start up conference. It'll be here before you know it. Really long season ahead. I don't mean that in any judgment way, but we've just started.
Mm.
So right now, my focus is on what are we good at, what are we bad at, so we can get some direction towards mm-hmm. being successful in conference. Recruiting never stops. We recruit year-round. Come, I would say, March, April, recruiting will pick up again really heavy because that's a Division I signing mm-hmm. period. And so some players that maybe didn't get, swallowed up by Division I schools start to see some of the advantage in junior college. Or mm-hmm. maybe I'm second choice at a Division I. I want to go somewhere I'm first choice. So you get some of that, and that it never stops, but it will pick up real heavy in March and April.
And you were talking a little bit about some of your predecessors, and they've brought in some great players. And I am curious, when you go to the South, back East, all over the country, is there an awareness of Yavapai College as a program for some of these top high school players?
No doubt. There is. Nationwide. Hawaii, all the way over to the Carolinas. It is... I can send an email out. This is why I'm very fortunate to do what I do. I can send an email out to almost any four-year school and get a return email.
Fantastic.
That's awesome.
Well,
for players.
Yep. Wish you luck with the coming season. Look forward to watching the Rough Riders. Hope they win another national championship. Thanks for being with us today, Ryan. Time for another break. Stay tuned. We'll be back with some parting words.
Yavapai College is your community college with 6 campus locations throughout Yavapai County, offering a wide variety of quality, affordable academic programs and job training that's designed to get you working quickly. Stay connected with Yavapai College through social media and receive the latest news about performing arts center shows, art exhibitions, upcoming enrollment dates, course schedules, and more. It's all available by just visiting the college website at yc.edu. Now, let's return to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen.
Special thanks to Brad Clifford and Ryan Kogel for appearing on today's show, and thank you, listeners, for supporting Yavapai College. Remember, you can find information on all YC classes, news, sporting events, concerts, and more by visiting yc.edu and following Yavapai College on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is Kim Capen back with you on Rough Rider Radio next week.
You've been listening to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen. The views expressed on today's show are solely those of Yavapai College and do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our sponsors. Join us next Saturday at 12:30 for Rough Rider Radio on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Rough Rider Radio was paid for by Yavapai College and were solely responsible for its content.